Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Robin Farman-Farmian. She's an entrepreneur, speaker, and author. Robin, welcome to our show today.
I am so excited to be here. We met quite a few years ago and had this instant connection. So it's really fun catching up with you.
Yeah. And just so you all know, in life, you really want to meet people that raise your energy. And Robin and I were talking about that, where you can choose. You're not married to your friends. You're not married to even your family sometimes. So when you can choose your relationships, you can choose your friendships, your colleagues and clients even, it just allows you to elevate your game. So Robin is one of those people where we literally have not met physically in years. And I don't even know how many times I've hung out, but I was saying to Robin that you just have this vibrant energy, super smart, ambitious, and driven, but like a glow of generosity. So for the people watching and listening, just make sure when you meet someone like a Robin, make sure you just latch onto her, not in a clingy way, but in a very generous way of, hey, you're cool, you're inspiring, you're doing great things. Perhaps we can stay in touch. Now, our last conversation was, oh, wow, you were part of the Scribe Media and I just interviewed Javon. Javon gave me a shout out. He's doing amazing things where he teaches entrepreneurs, experts, and executives on how to write a book. You were one of the people they work with. And so let's talk about your journey about just being an author, because if our listeners and viewers want to be an author, what would you suggest to them?
Sure. So I have three books right now. My first one is The Patient as CEO. And the way I came about that is because I created this five-year project plan for myself to become a professional speaker and well-known in the healthcare and technology field. The reason I did that is because I'm a tiny blonde and high energy in Silicon Valley. And there were a couple of companies where that was very detrimental. I was being sabotaged, sexually abused, harassed. I mean, it was gross abuse and it was well known and no one would help me. And so I realized, okay, well, if HR can't help me and nobody else working at the company is going to help me keep from being sabotaged all the time, I am going to change the game. And so I went home and I created a five-year project plan for myself on how to become a professional speaker. So that was my protection and that was my armor. And so I worked with Scribe Media to get that first book out, which is called The Patient as CEO, I mentioned. And it is all those different technologies. Now, let me tell you, the day my book published, it was like flipping a light switch. All of a sudden, people completely changed the way they acted towards me. They thought I was suddenly got really smart or really powerful. And what it turned into is all of a sudden, when I came across these men who were sabotagers or who really just felt it was a zero-sum game, if they achieved something, they had to push others down to do it. All of a sudden, they were on horseback and I was in a tank, right? Mm-hmm. It changed the power dynamic. And so because of this, in 2017, in the height of the Me Too movement, I didn't realize that. Like most of us in Silicon Valley, you don't know what's happening to other women. You always think you're the only one. When I heard it was happening to other people, not to mention, of course, men even, that I was like, wait a second, I have a solution. I know how to fix this. And so I sat down and I took my project plan that I created for myself, turned it into a system called the Thought Leader Formula. And now I give other people step-by-step instructions on how to build a career just like mine and get in front of big audiences to drive either your business goals or your career goals, which is what it did for me in the first place.
See, Robin, you and I have so many parallels where I used to work at a corporate job at American Express in New York City, where I'm from, left that corporate job 21 years ago, came out to California, wrote my first book. And from that book, people started seeing me as an authority. And I was shocked because I was 26, 27 years old. I wrote a college success guide. And it was an amazing thing because I knew that when you write a book, people consider yourself as an authority. And now 20 plus years later, I'm working my sixth book, but same thing. When you write a book, you become an authority. But like you, I am not a Caucasian man. I'm not part of the majority perhaps, but I love the fact that it's very easy. Me as a minority, you as a woman say, oh, it's so hard. It's so difficult. I'm not saying, by the way, there's no racism and sexism. I'm just saying you and I are doing it the right way. We're not going to complain and whine about, yes, it is good. It should be challenging. I was actually talking to a female entrepreneur. It's like, Christopher, it's so hard. I'm like, good. It's supposed to be hard. Again, not to be minimizing her challenge, because again, as a minority, I'm not a woman, but I know that it is challenging. So all the people out there that are going through struggles, regardless of whether it's because you're a woman or ethnicity, it doesn't matter. The point is, especially if you're in a Western country like the US, there are no excuses. If you have drive, tenacity, and a vision like you, Robin, you've proven, that's great. So let's dive into this word thought leadership, because just to be clear on our viewers and our listeners, Robin and I are so blessed to be on stages. We literally have people paying us a lot of money. They fly us first class, business class, to all these crazy places around the country and world, but they're not just paying us for that 45 minutes keynote speech. They're paying us for the decades of experience that we've built over time to share in a concise fashion. These are the high level points that our audiences can learn to apply to their business. So that's a very, very clear difference between, oh, Christopher, I have a great story. I'd love to share that. It's not about your story, which is important. It's about the solution you're providing for your client that's paying you. So talk to us about that, Robin. What does it mean to be a thought leader?
So it's really an authority in your vertical. And you can't name yourself a thought leader. That's not a job, right? Other people will name you thought leader. And you know you've made it if you're a professional speaker. If someone's paying you anywhere from $500 to $20,000 or even $30,000 a keynote, you know you're a thought leader, right? And that's a nice little seal of approval. But really just becoming well-known in your industry so that when people think about that, right, whether it's nanotechnology or AI or catering, whatever you're an expert in, your name is going to be one of the people that think of from top of mind.
And what is your authority in your field? What's the specific thing that you're known for?
So I'm mostly known for being able to talk about the shift in healthcare delivery and providing value to the audiences. So the stuff I talk about is really about artificial intelligence, sensors, and like AI voice bots, some of the cool technology. I simplify it for any audience. So if you're a layperson, not in medicine or not in technology, you'll be able to understand it. And I'm teaching my audiences something, because usually I've got, say, 1,000 hospital CTOs or 4,000 dermatologists in the audience. What I do in those cases, I'm like, okay, this is how you make more money, bring in more revenue streams to the medical practice. Here is what your patients are going to be wanting. And so this is cutting edge. So you understand what the cutting edge is. And then I even teach them about things like some of the new codes coming out of Medicare, right? You can make $700 per patient per year by using this new neuro product, right? That's an artificial intelligence product. So I'm really teaching them about the newest things that will help their patients and help their medical offices.
See, Robin, you just explained what I tell my clients too. Again, that's why like you and I are kind of like that like brother sister type thing, where a lot of people ask me, Christopher, how do you get paid as a speaker? I'm like, look, what is your solution you're providing? So to break it down for our listeners and our viewers, Robin just said, first of all, she's in a healthcare field, which there's a lot of money there. She's talking to doctors who are people of decision-making authority. She talks about how, look, you can save $700 for one patient. So you do the math. If you have one doctor that has 10 patients, that's 7,000. One doctor that has 100 patients, that's 70,000. But the point is, you're giving very specific results-oriented outcomes for your audience or clients, and in your case, to have them be doctors. So anyone who's listening to this, remove your hubris of your story and how inspiring you are, which you might be. But if you want to be a professional speaker and an authority, in Robin's case, she talks about healthcare. In my case, I talk about story-based leadership or story-based sales. So I talk about how if you want to be a leader to inspire your team in sales or to build a better rapport, use stories like Steve Jobs, use stories like Howard Schultz, where Howard Schultz would talk about how he went to Italy in 1983 and he would be sipping his espresso in the espresso bar. And so this amazing connection between the baristas and the customers. He takes his inspiration, brings them out to the US and creates the same Italian experience in Starbucks, because without the story of this Italian experience, it's just a coffee shop. So that's my example of my authority in my field of business-based storytelling, where I teach my leaders based on science how to share stories to inspire your team to build sales. But again, super concise, super specific, as you did, Robin. So tell us about your book more, and really about some of the people you've impacted and inspired. Because again, even though I talk about professional speaking specifically, thought leadership, it's even more broad. So tell us some examples of people who read your book or even clients of yours that are like, oh my gosh, Robin, I wish I met you 40 years ago.
So let me tell you about some of my coaching clients, because I do the coaching on the step-by-step instructions on how to build yourself into a thought leader or speaker. So I have this friend, client, Monica Prophet. She's amazing. She is tiny like I am, very high energy and bubbly, looks younger than she is. And she was an artist. Like, you know, she painted. And she suddenly became an expert in blockchain. When that technology burst into the scene, she loved it. She learned all about it. She went to all the conferences and she was like, Robin, I want to be an expert in blockchain. Okay, well, you know, this is what you do. First of all, everybody knows the 101 of their own industry. So she wrote Blockchain 101. Took her 8 days because you don't need more than 15,000 words for what we wanted for her purposes. She took my photo from the patient as CEO, this cover. She switched out the photo, switched out the words to be Blockchain 101 and self-published it. And within, what was it, 3 months, she was asked to speak at MIT.
That's awesome.
This was an artist turned blockchain expert overnight. I mean, it only took her 3 months to get on that kind of stage. She now has investors coming to her for her startup. And the main reason I told her to write Blockchain 101, besides the fact that we all know the 101 of our own expertise, is because I didn't want her going up there and trying to compete with the blockchain speakers, right? It's a very much of an all guys club, right? It's very down and dirty, lots of partying and stuff like that. At least that's what it was before the pandemic. And so if she tried to compete against them, she'd be sabotaged and pushed down like crazy. So what she is instead is the blockchain expert at conferences where there's no other blockchain speakers.
That's great.
None of the big guys want to talk about 101. That's boring to them. They want to talk and be with their buddies in blockchain and talk about really, you know, the advanced stuff. What she does is teaches everyone the 101.
See, that's a perfect example, Robin, by the way, because I have two clients right now. They're in STEM. And a lot of times they stay in STEM. I'm like, no, you have to go outside and see how cool Airbnb, Facebook, and Uber are because they utilize the foundations of STEM to create the companies. But it's all about thinking in a way that the clients want, which is they don't really care, again, what you have to offer unless it applies to them. And it always goes back to you being very concise. Here's a client. She wants to be a thought leader. She's an artist. She has these problems. You dissect the problem and say, do this. Implement it, and therefore you get results. Again, not every client applies it, which is really unfortunate because like you, I know that every time I meet a client, I already know the potential. But unfortunately, they're trying to get me to convince them. And unfortunately, that's their issue, not mine. And that's a sad thing where it's a mindset thing. I literally had this one guy say, hey, Chris, convince me. I'm like, sorry, but I'm not here to motivate you. I'm here to give you a system that works over the last 20 years of experience. And if you want me to motivate you, then you're not part of our community, nor do I want you there, right? Because it's all about this constant, so many people don't have that drive sometimes, but if they have it, they still need a system like what you created. So I'm curious, you just explained an example of a person that actually took your advice and did it. When you talk to people that are, I don't know, Robin, is it really real? Well, am I gonna get paid? And what do you say to people like that? Whether it's people you work with or even people that are listening, because I just meet so many people that unfortunately it's like, we're all going to be dead one day. This is why Steve Jobs said, death is the best equalizer. And it's the single most important tool to actually make those big decisions. So in your case, what do you say to people like that? Or do you even bother talking to people like that?
So most of the time, the people who will come to me and talk to me about coaching are self-selecting. They're ready to execute, which is fantastic. So I don't typically get that exact question, but what I do get is the procrastination, right? So I've got one client right now and he's got a startup and he's scaling, right? He already has a huge number of users, like in the tens of thousands or 100,000. Now he needs to scale. And I've given him a list of things. We have like a social media calendar, what he needs to do and the videos he needs to record. And he keeps putting it off. Now, the reason I bring up procrastination is because there's one very easy solution to it. Outsource it. Let me tell you, with my first book, and I created that audiobook, and as the author, I'm supposed to listen to the audiobook to see if the editor did well and if anything needs to be redone. And I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And I'm like, wait a second, I'm not a procrastinator. That's not normally my DNA. It's because I just really didn't want to do that task. I didn't want to spend 3 hours listening to my own voice. And so I outsourced it. And it got done in like 2 weeks, right? I just threw a little bit of money on it. And you know, a lot of the time when you outsource things, it's not a lot of money,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, especially now.
Yeah, like 40 or 50 bucks for somebody to listen to it who's a college student or something like that, or even 100. I mean, come on, how much would you pay to get those 6 hours of you procrastinating to do whatever you wanted instead of listening to that?
Yeah.
So really that outsourcing thing.
That's great advice, Robin. I have a virtual assistant I pay $7 an hour. And that's like expensive in the Philippines, but still he's like a godsend. But what I'm saying is we live in a world where whatever feeds your energy, you keep doing more of, and whatever doesn't, you cut out. So tell us how our guests can stay in touch with you, learn from you, grow from you, and hire you.
Sure. So I am the only Robin Farman Farmian in the entire universe. Very, very easy to find. You can get me through my website. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all of those things. My website is just robinff.com. And when you Google me, it'll come right up.
Robin, thank you so much. Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.